That's really exciting. It's nice to get back here and hear not only what's going on here at Glen Eyrie, but get contact with other parts of the world and can go back and share it with our people. But I'd like to say, as Dave said, that it's you people that we really feel a close heart tie with, because the printouts and the letters and all this kind of thing, the checks, all of it, are more than just... That's important too. Especially the checks. I want you to know, from our point of view, it all represents much more than a postage meter stamp and an envelope and something that's printed. But we know it represents hearts of people that are really giving themselves to the Great Commission. And we certainly appreciate it. And we are able to funnel prayer requests up here regularly. And I want you to know, we see those answered specifically. And maybe I could just share a few things today to give you an idea of what God's doing in Mexico. First of all, I'd like to just share a little background of how the Lord led us in opening the ministry there. When we went down, I began looking over what was being done there, and I met a few Christians, I met a few missionaries, but I became very discouraged. I didn't seem to find anyone. I have since found people that are successful there, but at the time I seemed to just hit on people that had gone there and had no fruit, no results, so that was not very encouraging. And I proposed to some of them what I was going to do in opening a university ministry, and how we were going to do it by beginning to witness on the campus, and the idea of just directly approaching people with the gospel was something they said would not work. And so I thought, well, what else do we do? We have no contacts in Mexico City where we were beginning, and I really didn't know anything else to do, but didn't get encouragement that would work. And in my Bible study, as I was going through Romans in chapter 1, as I read the verse about the Gospels, the power of God to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Lord really answered a lot of the doubts and fears and the objections that other Christians and non-Christians had given me. For instance, they'd say, well, people here are very closed in their families, and in their culture, in their tradition, their friendship circles. And so I thought, now why did the Lord go to the Jews first? And you know, that's a race and a religion where people are very closed in, they're very tight-knit. And so I said, Lord, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work here. That's about the conclusion I had come to during language school. People say that you can't get into these people. And it was just like he said to me, Dan, what do you think the Jews are like? And I went to them first. And I'd bring another objection. I'd say, yeah, Lord, but you know, people are really bound up in their religious traditions here. I've been told that. And it was just like the answer came back, well, what kind of people do you think the Jews were when I went to them? And I said, well, boy, Mexicans have such strong family ties. And, well, what about the Jews? And after 6 months in language school, I had really accumulated a list of objections for the Lord. But just with that verse, he removed those fears and doubts that I was having as language school was terminating and I was getting ready to go out on campus with those great fears. Well, will it work or will it just fall flat on his face, the ministry? But with that, the Lord led us to go ahead and take the approach of sowing the seed in mass. And the U.S. sent several students down for the summer, 7 of them. And it was interesting, as we prayed every morning together and then went out on campus. And we kept track of the first 200 people that we approached and said, could we share with you a little illustration and so on, after a series of introductions. 198 out of the 200 said, yes, I'd like to hear it. We have not seen exactly that same percentage since then, but people are very open, and I think the reason we saw that was that it was really bathed in prayer. And a number of people, about 20, came to Christ that summer that stuck with us and are... Several of them are the foundation of our leadership among Mexicans today. And maybe I could just give you an illustration of how the gospel changes people in a culture where there's just been no light, no background in the Bible. The people we run into have not had a Bible background. I quickly drew out a little illustration. If you can see the top one there, if this is the population, the 2% would represent the membership in Protestant churches in Mexico. Among Catholics, Protestants, and everyone, 15% attend church. And the rest are basically secularized. They don't attend church. They call themselves Catholic, maybe, or they'll tell you they're nothing. And I find that most effort in Christianity is being directed at this little slice here, and very little out here. So we went to this, but with little, practically no knowledge on how to do it, because we found that we had to come up with some new ways of doing it. And to me, it's just a testimony of the grace of God and the power of the gospel that today there are people laboring with us who came to Christ out of this background. And the response that we saw that first summer, that was 8 years ago. But one of the fellows that came to Christ had a large family, as most of them do. And one by one, he led his brothers and sisters to Christ. There's 9 of them. And they've met the Lord now. One of the traditions in their family, as in many, is that the mother never sits down to eat. She kind of eats leftovers or eats on the run. One, she's too busy serving 9 kids and the husband. But as they came to Christ and they'd been trying to witness to her, they looked for a way to communicate that their lives were different. And so they decided one night they would set a place for her. And she came in the room and said, well, who's coming to dinner? And they asked her to sit down, that they had decided to all go to work and share in the serving of the meal, which is something they hadn't done before. They were all about college age, but had not been brought up to do that. Well, that really got to her. She just broke down and didn't know what to do. But after that, she started studying the Word with them and met the Lord. And so it's an example of how the gospel has power and changes people. And I mentioned that he led his brothers and sisters to Christ. We found that after getting that first generation of believers, most of the, I'd say 90% of our second generation converts there and in other cities where we've opened with an evangelistic thrust, but the second generation are almost all brothers and sisters, and in some cases friends, people that work with them. But they're not always students. Many of them are student age. Another example is a girl that didn't have a family. She was an orphan, and this illustrates the power of prayer. She was our babysitter, and about the second time she came over to babysit, I had forgotten and left a Bible out, and I didn't plan it. It was just there. And we came home, and she was reading it. Well, she accepted the Lord very easily. And we wrote a bunch of people and asked them to pray that she would have a fruitful testimony in her work, which is what she asked. We later discovered that she was just a troublemaker where she worked. She was a secretary. As we met some of the... I didn't mean to imply anything. But I wondered why she was so eager to bring these friends of hers around from work. And as we talked to them, they just testified of the change in her. But we asked people to pray specifically that she would have an effective witness. And her favorite verse was, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." She died 10 months after meeting the Lord. She was 21. And at the funeral, here she was an orphan, but it was packed. And I've been to several Mexican funerals, and it's usually just the family. But, I mean, it was packed out. And so they were, and she had no family. But these people would come up to us and tell us that her life was so different. She had worked there 5 years, that it had an impact on the whole company. And they were very eager. She's got now other people interested in the gospel. So I think even through her short 10 months of witness, God answered prayer in a tremendous way. And it's just further evidence of specific answered prayer and of the power of the gospel. The Lord's been faithful in giving us some multipliers, which is what we asked Him for from the time we started out that first summer in 1971. And I'd just like to leave a list of names here that you might want to pray for. Now, some of you have long lists and don't feel obligated to take this down, but if some of you would have a particular burden, just jot even one name down. I'll just mention one thing about each person. You might want to do this. These are 6 couples, or 5 couples and 1 potential couple. Next year I'll have another name there. That God has given us. One of the things we prayed for as we got together an hour each morning that first summer is that God would lead us to people who would be open to the gospel. And He did that. As I said, 198 out of 200 said, okay, we'll listen. But also we asked Him to give us people that would be the foundations of many generations, laborers. And we had some verses we were claiming for that. And several of these people met the Lord that summer or were led to Christ by some of these same ones who did. So today we're in their co-laboring with us. These will be people who are potential staff. Some in a contact point now. Sergio had a quite communistic background, and you know, when he'd first come around, he'd say, "Well, boy, it looks to me like Jesus is the first communist." And he really had a heart for the common good of all the people. And yet, through the power of the gospel, as soon as he received Christ, all that was left behind. He leads a ministry in Mexico City now, one of the alumni ministries. Jose Luis came to Christ. His family has a political background. His dad or grandfather was governor of one of the states. He comes from that kind of background. And he's going through a great amount of difficulty right now, and I've kind of launched a prayer campaign for him this month. He's struggling over just his priorities and keeping God first. He's got probably the highest paying job of just about anyone of his age. He works for the National Bank of Mexico, and he's very lured by the world. Now, he tells me, we've got a very open relationship, and that's one of the things. When people go through things like this, like he is, he said, "I'd like prayer because, you know, here I was committed, and in this past year I've just gotten into this atmosphere," and he said, "I don't know if I can come out." So I would like for you to especially remember to pray for him. Benjamin and Juanita. Benjamin came to Christ also that first year, and his wife was also in a communist cell group, had been in jail. She's a medical doctor, and he's an engineer. And together, she has led all her brothers and sisters to Christ. He's led about half of his brothers and sisters to Christ. And they lead one of the university ministries in Mexico City. Carlos and Luthi. Carlos was also a former communist. Several of his friends were, as he calls it, liquidated. And he comes from that kind of background. He said he was involved, and he explained to me they call it the mini-war. That doesn't get in the newspapers. But he's an architect and has had quite a fruitful ministry in Monterrey. He was president of his section of the university when he was in college. And so he's a real man of God. He's an excellent teacher of the word. Lucho and Aide are also in Monterrey. And Sergio Mireles, now ministering in Guadalajara. So I won't go through and explain much about all of them, but maybe you'd like to just pick one and pray for them. And the verse I'm praying this year for these people, I try to, I recently started taking one verse each year to pray for these people, and it's Psalm 46:11, "Be still, know that I am God." We're going on furlough, and I just felt like 1 year before furlough, my goal was to communicate to them as much as I could about who God is, and I'm praying that their concept of God will be increased. They'll see what He's like, and I feel if they have that's what they need to make it as they continue on their own and continue to multiply. So, thanks, and I just want to say we've seen many specific prayers answered, and I believe we're going to see the one answered for Jose Luis, and just appreciate what y'all are doing for us here. Thank you.